But I do want to start with training camp and with practice today. You and I were both out there at the facility in Ashburn. And there were three guys specifically that stood out to me, I thought, worth mentioning today. And I want to go through them one by one here. The first is Jalen Lane, the wide receiver from Virginia Tech. It is very clear to me when I watch practice right now that almost every single time Jalen Lane gets on the field, he is almost immediately targeted.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning of training camp, he was working with the threes, occasionally with the twos. And you would notice him some, but he was kind of down the depth chart. He's getting a lot of run right now when Jaden Daniels is at quarterback, throwing him the football against top corners. And he continues to show out. This is a guy who runs a 4.3, 4.40. He's small. I was talking to one of the Commanders beat writers on the sideline. And they said, you know who he reminds me of? And maybe it's just the number and his size. But he dropped a Tyler Lockett on him, which I found kind of interesting.
Yeah,
Lockett's an undersized guy, wears number 83 as well.
And was a returner at K-State.
Right, good comp. Yeah, exactly. And in Lane's case, he has gotten deep and open a lot, especially on what I call like plaster plays where we're off schedule now. And Jaden Daniels with that extra beat, or even Sam Hartman earlier in camp, has now gotten out of the pocket and flushed, and everybody kind of scatters, and Lane kind of just becomes the deepest guy.
Mm-hmm.
And all camp long, I feel like he's made one play after another. But if you comp him, say, to Luke McCaffrey, who's another young receiver, it seems like whenever Luke's out there, there's not as many targets, but a lot of things on snaps happen where you go, ah, he was this close, where he gets tangled up with a corner, or he falls down, or he can't make the catch, or he's got a guy draped over him. But when they throw to Lane, it just works. He's open. He makes catches. It's been constant. There was one play, Toby, today where he was going against Jonathan Jones. Not going to start for the Commanders probably right away, but longtime veteran corner in New England.
Good
played
player.
A lot last year.
Yeah.
They're one-on-one in the slot. Jones is playing in the nickel. And Lane had this twitchy top of his route stem where he kind of like plants and goes in and breaks out. And Jones was left 3 to 4 yards behind him, and he makes a catch and gets to the sideline in a 30-second drill at the end of a half. And I'm telling you, like over and over again, if I'm taking notes, I go 83, 83, 83. This was Cliff Kingsbury today talking about the rookie wide receiver who runs a sub-440 from Virginia Tech.
He's been very impressive. He's a coach's kid, been around the game his entire life. And if you tell him how to do it one time, he usually nails it. And then if he makes a mistake, he'll come back and get it corrected. But super, super talented, very fast. I've been really impressed. I don't think I could see some of those things at Virginia Tech, watching the film and getting him here in person and watching him run around and watching the coachability and the route tree that he can run. It's been really impressive.
I was standing next to Adam Kilgore, who was covering the team at camp for the Washington Post, who was going to be on the Blitz today. And it was funny because we were both kind of marveling over some of the plays that he was making. And Kilgore said, and it was a great line, he goes, tired, Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, young standout. Wired, Jalen Lane. Everyone's talked about Merritt. He's had a great camp. I don't think enough people are talking about Jalen Lane.
Yeah, the thing is, what's interesting about Jalen Lane is what you heard Cliff say is he didn't really run routes down the field at Virginia Tech. It was one of the things I was interested to see in camp. One of the things I'm interested to see going forward is how was he used in this offense? Because I already know from watching him with the Hokies last year, he can do the Debo stuff, all of it. And he's a little bit different. He's not as thick as Debo. Debo's going to run through tackles versus he's going to be elusive and dodge people. But they can
but
do similar.
But they wanted to get him the ball in space.
Correct.
So they'd occasionally just throw him the ball into the backfield with nobody around him.
Once a game, and I have no idea how whoever Virginia Tech was playing that week, never game planned for it. Once a game, they'd run an end around and he'd pop it for 30 yards. Every single week. He was so good at that. But he never ran down the field. The final game of the year against UVA, they finally hit him on a deep ball, and he scored a touchdown, like 70-yarder. But they didn't do a whole lot of that. So I think that's what Cliff's talking about, is Jalen Lane today, I was watching a couple of times just to see how he would match up against Amos, which we're going to get to in just a second, because he was impressive today. But running go routes, running posts, running stuff down the field, they didn't do that a whole lot at Tech. So I think that's part of the reason he fell to the fourth round is, okay, he's a gadget guy, right? He's kind of a guy that has to line up in the slot, and he can do a little bit of this and that. Like you talked about, underneath stuff, he is shifty. He can create separation underneath. He's electric with the ball in his hands. The thing that he didn't do a lot at Tech was go down the field, and I think that he can do that. And I think part of the reason he fell to the fourth round is Virginia Tech just wasn't very good last year, frankly. The quarterback play wasn't
certainly
great.
Certainly not offensively.
The offensive line that maybe didn't give the time to go down the field, right? I think that you could see this guy be their most versatile receiver in terms of he's catching the ball behind the line of scrimmage. He might line up in the backfield and play that Debo type role. They're moving him. He's going down the field. He can do everything, and he's electric when he gets the ball.
I always try to stop myself with wide receivers who are having big practices because, as you saw with Luke McCaffrey and so many other guys, it's a really hard position when you're a mid or late round pick. You know, in Luke's case, it's third round. In Lane's case, it's fourth round. But when you're not drafted right at the top of the board, you don't necessarily get the looks. They're not crowbarring you into the game plan and giving you targets. It is just notable to me that when he gets those first team reps, almost always he gets a quick target. You know, when he's out there, it's Debo-like in the sense that, you know, Debo Samuel, if you look at the snaps he's getting in practice in terms of snap count, I'll bet you it's not that high, but they get him in there to get his work and they get him back out. Like, he's out there, he's catching a pass, they're doing something around the line of scrimmage, they're running a dig in the middle of the field, back to the sideline. It almost feels like Jalen Lane, who's in a similar role, is getting some of that same work. But what I find so fun about him is, in a world where there's no Terry McLaurin right now, you look at the receiver position. Noah Brown has not been healthy, has not been practicing 11s. So you're down your top two, potentially, traditional receivers, if Debo's this tweener who plays all over the place. So the receiver room is Michael Gallup, or the ghost of him, years since his last big season. Mm-hmm. Luke McCaffrey, who, as I mentioned, you know, I think Lane is having a more impressive camp then. And then it's Chris Moore, who had a couple of big catches today. I think he, of the veterans, like, I would actually like him and find him more interesting right now than Michael Gallup, oddly enough. KJ Osborne is kind of down there with Gallup. Haven't really noticed him very much. But if we're just talking about practice, Allen Iverson style, we talk about practice. The best receivers at camp, take Debo out of the equation because he's just a gadget, you know, weapon, so to speak. It's been Jalen Lane, and, you know, then you got to have a conversation about who number two is. What that means when they start actually playing live football against the Patriots this weekend, we're going to find out. But I do want to just point out that he had a great practice. And with Cliff talking about him today, I thought it was bringing up.
Yeah, and I think, too, Cliff had mentioned a little bit earlier in his presser saying, with Terry out, with Noah Brown not able to practice, that you kind of get these opportunities that maybe you wouldn't usually, because you're having more reps of Jalen Lane with the ones. You're having more reps of Luke McCaffrey with the ones. And he said it's an opportunity to figure out if either of these guys go down. Obviously, when Terry's back, when Noah Brown, they step right back in. But you get an opportunity to see, okay, who's the next guy up? You mentioned Luke McCaffrey. There have been some plays he hasn't been able to make. Jalen Lane has made the plays.
So
here's
the difference between those two to me that I've seen. Luke McCaffrey does a really good job operating underneath against zone. It seems to me like he separates and kind of just throttles it down. Remember, he was a quarterback. I think he's really smart in that way. Second-generation player. His father, Ed, was a great wide receiver. Mm-hmm. His brother is an MVP-caliber player. Against zone, he seems to operate kind of between the numbers, hash marks, and do a lot of good things underneath. When they play against man, he does not get free. He does not really separate. He seems to always have guys draped over him, and that is just not the case with Lane. He just has so much more wiggle. Speaking of which, man coverage heavy today, I thought, in some of the 11 stuff that they were doing, 11 on 11. Trey Amos had a heck of a practice.
Incredible day.
I really, really like Trey Amos. Now, it's early, and I'm going to use my same caveat of, let's watch some real football at some point before we get too excited. But all we can do right now is watch the practices and see who stands out. Amos had a play where he's just step for step in stride with Debo. He had a great play down the field on McCaffrey with a PBU. He just seems to always be blanketed over a receiver in man coverage. And he's confident. He's got length. We had him on the show last week. I think people heard the kind of mentality that he provides as a personable guy who feels good about where he's at and is confident that he can play in this league. But the biggest reason to me for this storyline of the corners are having a great camp, Lattimore certainly looks like he's healthier and running better than he did at the end of last season. It's nice to bring in a guy like Jonathan Jones. It's Trey Amos, man. Like, right now, he's basically the outside corner as the number two opposite Lattimore, and in most practices, he looks great. My big question is this because of the receivers he's going up against? Like, if you're running with Luke McCaffrey or Michael Gallup or, you know, KJ Osborne, that's different than when week one you're going to be following Malik Nabers around. I get that. But I kind of view it almost like baseball, where I'm not telling you this guy's going to hit 300 forever, but you see him in one game and he puts four balls in play and he has a high exit velocity. Like, there is a starter kit here with Amos that I really like.
He's always around the football. He's always near the guy that he's supposed to be covering. And, you know, there was one ball that he ended up giving up to Deebo Samuel, but Deebo ran a perfect route, stemmed, ran a dig route about 15 yards down the field. But he's step for step, he's right there. It's not like it was, whoa, we got turned around or anything. He's right there, and those things are going to happen. That's called playing in the NFL against really good players. But the thing that was so impressive was he made multiple plays, and the last play of practice that you've already mentioned where McCaffrey's running a go route, he's step for step with him, and the technique was perfect, Grant, where it was watching, and then finally gets his head around, and then once he tracks the ball, puts his left hand out and just swats it away. Like, that's the sort of stuff that we saw other corners here in the past be able to do. They were able to stick step for step, but then they'd panic, and they'd grab the guy, or they'd push the guy, or they wouldn't get their head around. The next thing you know, the ball's right by him. Nope. Perfect technique by Amos, gets the head around, swats it away, and that's the stuff that I think we've seen with other guys that maybe just isn't as teachable as you think. Like, either have that or you don't. It's pretty clear for him. He's got the ball skills necessary, and he's always sticky with whoever he's covering.
Yeah, the pick today was a ball skills pick. It was that out route slightly behind Chris Moore, so like on his back shoulder. Mm-hmm. It was from Daniels on like a 10, 12-yard out, and Moore has Amos beat by a step toward the sideline. Daniels puts it on his back shoulder, so he kind of slows up to reach back. But he's got the ball pinned, and then Amos kind of rips it away from him because he's so close in coverage. And it's the kind of play you do see in the league occasionally. But I think the ball skills are there. It just looks different. You know, even when I remember the beat, a lot of the folks on the cover the team every day were like super impressed by Emmanuel Forbes in his rookie training camp. And then you watched him in that first preseason game, and it's like, this is the guy, really? I bet you that's not what it's going to look like with Amos, but we're going to get our first crack of game action against New England to watch this team on Friday night. The Commanders are traveling tomorrow. They've got a practice on Wednesday, then they'll be off for a walkthrough Thursday, and then Friday night, preseason game number one in Foxborough, which will be a lot of fun. Grant and Danny. Danny's out today. Toby Altizer's in. One more guy. These are three takeaways, three players that stood out to me at practice, and in all three cases, this is kind of the last week or so, I like these guys kind of continually. Matt Gay, the kicker. So he did miss one kick today from 55, wide to the left. Plenty of leg, and he just missed. Prior to that, he drilled 50 and 55-yarders, and the 55-yarder would have been good from beyond 60.
Mm-hmm.
He crushed it. Adam Peters actually went up and gave him a big hug after he nailed the 55-yarder. And I don't know what the interaction was about, but I have to imagine it has something to do with the fact that last year they went through seven kickers and had a guy that barely made a chip shot to beat Tampa Bay. And I think he's pretty happy that they have a grown-up real kicker here in Matt Gay. But I think that's one of the storylines that's gone under the radar. And I get it. Like, there's so many things to focus on and talk about. You got Laremy Tunsil at left tackle. Debo's new in the receiver room. Bobby Wagner back. And Zach Ertz re-signing a contract. Daniel's in year two. You got a draft class. Guys like Connor Lee you're trying to keep an eye on. But going from having more kickers than anybody in the league last season to someone who might actually be a strength at that position would be a massive upgrade. And I believe Gay's missed two kicks all training camp long at this point. The length is not the strength. 50 and beyond has been, over the last couple of seasons, a little bit questionable, but inside of 50 has been automatic, and they don't go for a ton of field goal attempts in that 50 to 55 range because they go for so many fourth downs because they have Jaden Daniels. So I actually think this marriage could be perfect, but right now, this moment, for the first time in a few years, when they line up for a field goal, I feel like it's going to go in.
Yeah, he's not going to be a weapon. You know, like you think about McPherson when the Bengals went on their run, Justin Tucker for years with the Ravens, guys like that, you feel like is a weapon because you cross midfield and you can knock one through. That's not necessarily going to be the case, but he is a security blanket. And the fact that anytime you get inside 50 yards, he's going to probably knock it through. And you feel pretty good about that. And that's something that you haven't been able to say here for quite some time. So having a guy that when it's fourth and five at the 30, you know, before it was like, well, we'll feel okay, but now you're like, okay, we can trot the kicker out. We don't feel like we have to push it with Jaden Daniels here. To your point, this team doesn't love to kick field goals over 50 because, you know, if it's fourth and two, I can just go ahead and figure out a way to get Jaden Daniels to get 3 yards, right?
Yeah, do you think they'll kick more field goals 50-plus because Gay's better than what they had? Or do you think 4th and 4 or less, that's still go-for-it range?
It's probably still go-for-it range most of the time. Too. But there's at least a confidence that if you go, well, we're going to play this one conservatively, that you're actually going to knock it through. Because before, I think it was like, do we go for it and just give the ball, or do we, like, 30% chance we make this field goal? Right?
Exactly. I think that's the difference is you're doing a math equation in your head, and maybe even the analytics guys upstairs are helping Dan Quinn in his headset. And in the past, there might be a 35% chance you hit that field goal. Well, if the chances are now 50%, there are going to be more times mm-hmm. where you probably elect to send out the field goal kicker, but you got a cheat code. It's not a coincidence that the Ravens have gone for more fourth downs in that range than anybody else in the league in plus territory the last several years. Lamar is impossible to defend in short yardage with the ability to hand the football or keep it, and you've got a guy just like that now on fourth down who's your cheat code in Jaden Daniels. But those are the three guys I wanted to star from today's practice.